This is Will's Band of the Week for March 24th, 2013. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Yep.
And Chris at an undisclosed remote location.
I'm here.
Yeah. So, after a little bit of technical difficulty, we're on the air. So, that's good. Good to have everybody here. So, what are we doing this week, anyway? Anybody got any music news? See how prepared I was to start recording?
Music news. Did anybody die this week? I don't think so. Not that I can remember.
Not anybody, like,
not anybody
close enough on our radar.
Noteworthy, right.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's been cold. That's not music news, but that's it's kind of some news. You can tell that Chris is still running his furnace.
Yeah.
The furnace is here. It never leaves.
It's going to be working hard for a while in this Wisconsin weather we have.
Indeed.
I think I had some music news, but I forgot it, so I'll bring it up whenever I think of it. So,
there's no console news that we need to discuss?
There should be some kind of recording console news, right? It's terrible to have that streak come to an end. I know, here's the news. If there's no music news, then we can just talk about sports, right? Because we do that on this podcast. It's a free-for-all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we should congratulate Chris for his team, Marquette, making it to the... They call it the Sweet 16. They're in the final 16 college basketball teams alive still.
Congratulations, indeed. Chris.
So
hey, I take personal responsibility for the team.
Yeah, you get credit for it.
Without so I definitely you, deserve credit.
Without you, I don't think they could have... The inspiration of you, without that, they couldn't have accomplished what they've accomplished. But they played two exciting games. And my team, Wisconsin, Barrett's team, we kind of like... didn't do very well.
They got beat by what, 10 or 11?
By Mississippi.
Yeah.
And there's this fundamental rule of basketball that if you shoot the ball and it doesn't go in, then you don't score points and then you don't win.
And I noticed that was happening a lot. And because of that, like the point total for the Badgers is going up really slowly. Yeah. I think that was the key to the game.
I think it was too.
So if you had a graph, if you had to like chart it out, the points that Wisconsin was scoring would be less than the points that Mississippi was scoring?
Hold
like the bar
second.
Would be higher?
Exactly.
Back it up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I need like graphical representations in order to understand all this stuff.
Yeah, and see, the thing that Marquette did is when that graph showed that they had fewer points than the opposition, they scored some points in order to reverse that.
And oh.
See?
That's how it works.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So...
I saw they were down 10 at one point. Was it ever bigger than that? Or
no, I think 10 was the
10
tops.
10 was the tops.
Yeah.
They tried to give it away at the end there. I could everything that
those
could go
weird.
Right for Butler did. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know?
Yeah, there was that baseball pass thing and then that weird deflection out of bounds. So, but in a way, that was cool because it made it more exciting at the end. See, in the end, if you get really excited... and then your team still wins, then it's cool, right? Then it's fine. Everything is good.
Yeah, not good for the blood pressure, though.
No, probably not. I can only imagine what it must have been like in the Chris household.
Yeah.
There was at one point there was an overturned TV tray.
Hopefully, no overturned children. Or
yes. Well, my son may have learned a new word or two, but other than that. I think we're fine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they now represent the state next weekend. We'll see if they can do something, some noise.
Who do they play?
They will play either today, as we speak, Miami and Illinois are playing.
Ooh.
And then they will play the winner of that game. And then if they win that game, then they will most likely play the Indiana Hoosiers, who are coached by Tom Crean, who left Marquette to coach Indiana. So beating them would be especially sweet.
Revenge.
It would be.
Right.
Now, but I had Miami winning the whole thing.
Wow.
But I should add that so far my picks have proven that I know absolutely nothing. So My dark horse was St. Louis, and they just got killed yesterday. And of course, I had to pick Wisconsin to go far, and saw what happened with them. So
yeah, I had the Badgers losing in the final to Duke. So
what? I usually do that. I usually pick Wisconsin to go way farther than they really should, just because I figure, you know, I'll ride their coattails to a win in my pool,
right?
You know, if it ever happens. So yeah.
My pool was just with Wilson, so he had the Badgers winning the whole thing. I thought I had a good chance of beating him by picking Duke to beat the Badgers. I think I think I'm going to beat him.
Now you've taken a clear lead in your one-on-one pool. That's good, though. It's good to teach your kid gambling at an early age. So my dad did that, actually. He had a pool at work when I was like 10 years old that would... they would pick the NFL football games. And so he'd bring these lists home, and my brother and I would make the picks, and he would just enter our picks. And it was fun.
Did he not know much about football, or did he?
Yeah, he didn't know very much. My brother and I were the sports nerds reading the sports page and everything, you know. Yeah. All right, there's your sports update, because we didn't have any music news. I'm sure everybody appreciates the sports update. So, yeah,
my music news is that my daughter, who's 18 months old, is now aware of Lady Gaga, and that's like her favorite thing in the world.
Oh,
so
boy.
She'll walk up and point to my cell phone, to my iPhone, which is in my pocket, and start saying Gaga because she wants to. Go ahead.
I got to stop you here. That's kind of like Wilson used to say that too. He'd go around, Gaga, Gaga. Maybe she's just maybe you're reading too much into her vocalizations, Chris.
No, she definitely wants Lady Gaga, and then she'll dance when I put it on. She likes the song Telephone quite a bit. So
let me guess, her other favorite band is the Goo Goo Dolls, right? Goo Goo,
yes,
Goo Goo.
Just happens to be
yeah.
You got to get her into some, you know, Joy Division or something.
Yeah,
you know, gotta be something easy.
Diversify her tastes. Yeah,
she is 18 months.
Yeah,
so she is getting up to that age. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe some Nick Cave.
Right.
Yeah. 18 months.
Wow.
She's 1/12 of the way to graduating from high school.
Wow. Good math. But yeah, she likes the. I guess she likes the bands that are easily pronounceable.
Yeah, that's good.
Sha na na. Which you guys discussed a couple weeks ago.
We did. What would be a good thing for her to get into that we like? Easy to say.
I've thought about that. I mean, I'd like... my other kids are just... they're off the reservation. My daughter is into One Direction now.
Oh, God.
Which
is too bad. Yeah.
You're aware of what that is?
Sort of, yeah.
I've never heard it, but I know what it is.
Yeah. Don't they have, like, their own channel on Sirius or XM or whatever?
It's entirely possible. They've only been around for a couple of years, I guess. But I mean, I'll grant them, their songs are somewhat catchy, but I mean, they're just a bunch of, you know, five Muppet headed little British kids that, you know, sing and dance. But you know, it's the old New Kids on the Block and, you know, NSYNC and all that kind of stuff, the boy band thing. And my daughter's into it. So
there's always going to be a market for that. And you can't stop it. Right?
I think the New Kids have a new album coming out this spring.
The New Kids on the Block?
Mm-hmm.
They're like 35 years old now?
Oh, much older than that.
The old guys on the block.
Well, they changed their name. They went on tour a couple years ago, and they changed their name to NKOTB.
Yes.
To avoid the New Kids moniker. So, yeah.
Huh.
You know what's funny? Justin Bieber is probably too old for your daughter to like him now, right?
Yeah,
he's like
is.
Over the hill already, right?
That's right. He's old news. He's like an oldie. Justin Bieber to her is like, I don't know, Jane's Addiction was to us or something.
Right. Well, there was just a story in the newspaper today about Justin Bieber and how he's starting to have some difficulties, you know, and then, you know, the people around him are saying, well, you know, he's never really had a chance to be a teenager, and he's been getting into scuffles with the paparazzi, you know. And that reminded me of the time that Barrett came over here to record the podcast once, and he was being chased by paparazzi.
That's
right. All these cars, and you had to put your like coat over your head when you came in the house.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
By the time you got in here, things had calmed down.
So. Yeah.
Was that when he was there doing the podcast or when he's doing his perp walk?
That was the podcast. You're getting it mixed up. We kind of agreed not to talk about that on the air, Chris. But, yeah, it was Rob Starbuck. He was in the Channel 7 news truck. Did I get that right? Yeah, Channel 7?
Or 27?
3?
Yes.
Well, they were all there. I don't remember which one he was in. Charlie Shortino was trying to ask me some questions.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
they had one of those big boom mics.
Kind of identify. Yeah. hit me right in the face. Yeah. So I can kind of identify with what Justin's going through. And I don't blame him for lashing out. That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's another thing that we don't talk about. What happened
when I... It's few and far between the kids that actually... I mean, I realize this is kind of a tried and true topic, but child actors are... I mean, you see some that make it. Neil Patrick Harris seems to have adjusted fairly well.
Mm-hmm. Who was... I don't even...
Doogie Howser.
Who is that?
Doogie Howser.
Oh.
He's on a new...
Yeah.
Not new, but on a current show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Neil Patrick Harris is like the king of all things now. He's hosting awards shows and doing movies.
Wow.
Mr. Popularity.
Yeah.
So he just left the medical practice behind, huh? I guess.
He did at age 15.
Wow.
He got too old.
Well, he had accomplished everything he could
accomplish. When you start early like that, you get to retire when you're like 19.
Yeah.
He got too old to practice TV medicine, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Then he made his comeback in the Harold and Kumar movies.
Yeah, I did not see those.
Yeah.
Is that a mistake to not have seen those? Do I need to
The first
that?
One is fun enough, but the first one is okay.
Is that the White Castle one? Other,
yes.
Okay.
Then the others are just kind of, I don't know, kind of the same old thing, so.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, boy bands.
There I've go. Got a little piece of music news, concert announcement that I went to. I took JJ and Wilson on Friday night to the Majestic to see the English Beat.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was really uncertain about whether I should go.
Yeah.
It was $20. I thought maybe I'll just go by myself. But I did that once before and I really didn't like it. I went and saw Bill Callahan by myself. And I just had a miserable time.
It was a lonely experience.
Yeah.
The music helped that along.
This was before, you know, before we started doing this podcast. Anyway, I thought maybe we could get Wilson in for less than $20. Turns out, no. So for the three of us to see just Dave Wakeling and a bunch of replacement players was $60.
Mm-hmm.
They don't charge by height?
They do not. They do not. I mean, if he's going to a movie, he gets a reduced rate, you know?
Yeah, they never do that in rock and roll.
That sucks.
You got to pay to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's generally not like a child ticket for a Strokes concert or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the band was actually really good. And, you know, Dave Wakeling was the writer and the singer. So if you're going to have one original member, he'd be the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it got me to kind of thinking the band was so tight and sounded so good that I'm sure they were better than the original. You know, they hired
from a pure
professionals.
Musical standpoint.
Yeah. And another interesting thing is that, you know, back in the 80s, they had two guitar players. I can't remember the first names, but their last names were Cox and Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, okay, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Let's edit that. I'm going to.
It'd be better. It'd be funnier in the opposite order. But go ahead.
That's why I should have looked up the first name so I could separate them with another
right,
word.
Exactly.
Who could forget the duo of Steel Cox?
I'm leaving this in, by the way. I've got the editing hand, and
they should have. You know, they went to form Fine Young Cannibals with that. What's that guy's name? Roland Gift, I think. Anyway, they should have just been Steel Cox, right? That would have been better.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, they didn't, this new incarnation of the band, they did not replace, they didn't even have a single guitar player. Just Dave playing rhythm guitar, which was kind of unusual.
But so how did they sound?
They sounded really good.
Really good. And How about the crowd size and response?
The crowd size was big and old.
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd was, there was a big crowd, and it was an old crowd. And saw a bunch of people I knew. So it's kind of fun to go to a show like that, kind of like at the church.
Oh, yeah.
We went
yeah.
and saw them, where we were pretty much the average age.
Right.
The attendees.
Yep.
In this case, I think it was a little even younger than average. But, and as we're talking here, I see Will, or, get some
Grant's
guitars
friends are here.
And
they're ready to rock and roll.
Amps coming up the steps here.
Yep.
But,
we'll have to hope that we can keep, we can get this recording done before the loud rock and roll starts.
Yeah.
Look at that. We got like an SG, copy, kind of cream colored. Got an amp and,
can't see that acoustic, what that is.
Hey, Grant, your friends are here. Yeah, they're standing on the back porch.
Okay, so anyway,
so,
back
anyway,
to the podcast.
Yeah, just back to the podcast.
Hoping we get some accompaniment.
we might.
We might pretty soon. They look ready to rock, these guys.
Yeah.
They're not messing around. Anyway, it was a good show. They played for like 2 hours and kind of rekindled my interest in the English Beat, which I hadn't really listened to in many years. But
I have a friend who had his big date where his girlfriend became his serious girlfriend after mm-hmm. they went to an English Beat concert.
Wow.
In the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah.
They played at the Stock Pavilion.
Oh, nice. Remember?
They don't have concerts there anymore because they have stock there. And there's deemed to be a health issue with having crowds of people in there, I guess. But it was pretty cool when they had, I think REM played there
they
one
did.
Time.
They did. I went yeah. there. May 10th, 1985.
Listen to that. That's
what?
Impressive.
No, I remember that. I've still got the ticket stub. I just, like, my friend and I, Joe, he lives in Seattle now. Every year on the anniversary of that, we'll email each other. Hey, dude. It's that, been 25 years now.
I whatever. Understand why I wasn't there now, because I was in Minnesota mm-hmm. in May of 1985. So
they
I,
also,
I was not seeing Hooster doing the Replacements, though, and I should have been, right?
Yeah, you should have yeah. been.
You old hipsters.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you know, you are aware that the they just picked a new pope.
Right.
And I made a joke before he was actually picked. Like, the smoke came out, the white smoke, and so it was going to be like an hour when they announced who it was. And so I went on Twitter and I made a joke that, you know, now we have to listen to some hipster say that he was down with the new pope. Like, he saw the new pope open for Joy Division in 81 or something.
Yeah.
And, like, within seconds, somebody emailed me. He's like, no, they were New Order by 1981.
Oh, boy.
Totally ruined the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to get your facts straight, Chris.
And it is true. It was 1980 was the last show that they played as Joy Division. And then 1981 they came out. And who was, I'm blanking on the name of the guy that hung himself.
Yeah, Ian Curtis. He,
yes.
Yeah. So he was dead by 1981.
Yep.
Oh, man, you must have been so embarrassed.
I know. I was off by like a couple months, so it totally ruined the
man,
joke.
Man, yeah. That was just like 33 years ago. How could you?
I know. Sheesh. I was six.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about music, you guys. Otherwise, we'll hit an hour and we will have not talked about any new bands or any exciting things for the listeners. Not that the English Beat is not exciting. That's good. So, well, we've got a variety of music to talk about this week. So I think I'll just take charge here and tell you guys about Palma Violets. Did you guys get a chance to listen to this at all? I told you that I've listened to it.
I did not listen to it.
Nor did I.
Okay, well, this is going to
be a good one.
This is going to be exciting. So this is a... You know, from time to time, you get these British bands that are like they get really big in the press and they don't have an album out yet and they release a single and everybody gets excited. And so this band, this is one of those bands where like there's all this anticipation. And so now like they're probably overblown in the press. So now there's a backlash because everybody's like, well, they're not that good and whatever. But anyway, I think they're pretty good. And I think I might have mentioned to you guys that this reminds me a little bit of the first Vaccines album, where it has kind of an enthusiasm like that. So the album is called 180. Let's start with track 3, All the Garden Birds. ¶¶ Palma Violets.
My first impression is that we should form the first world's first Palma Violets cover band, because I think we could play that song.
Yeah.
After about 2 hours of practice.
Sure, yeah.
Nice and simple.
Pretty straightforward. Yep, yep.
Do you want to sing, Chris?
Sure.
All right. We need somebody to play drums.
I can do the drums.
You can do the drums?
Yeah. No problem. Right. Yeah, that would be easy to play. So, yeah, it's a kind of a Brit power pop thing, and pretty catchy and pretty good, I think. Here's another one. Step Up for the Cool Cats. Palma Violets.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Indeed, that is vaccine-y.
Yeah, and they played at South by Southwest, like all good bands should do, right? And I read a little bit about it, and one of the things that the reviewers were saying was that they're more raucous live. Their album is more, you know, I guess poppy, and live they kind of rocked out more. So they got pretty good reviews. And... which leads to, I think when Chris talks about his band, I want to talk about this. Like, how do you get noticed at South by Southwest when there are 1,000 bands? I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me. You probably have to have people kind of interested beforehand. There has to be some kind of anticipation, right? I would think.
One would think. It would be hard to really make a splash, I think, after people see your band once. Although I know, like, a bunch of them play, you know, 4 shows in 2 days or something.
Right.
So...
exactly.
I don't know. There have been very few bands that I've gone and seen and without knowing anything about them, being like, oh, wow, that's a great band.
Right. Right. It does happen with some of those bands, I think, at South by Southwest, because some people just roam around because there's a million bands playing, and sometimes it'll catch somebody's ear and they'll say, hey, this is great. Right.
Right. I can't remember where I read, but somebody was talking about, you know, somebody in a band playing at South by Southwest and saying, you know, I know it seems like it would be really cool, but there's so much going on, and in the little place that you're playing in, there's not that much buzz or excitement necessarily, and you don't really feel like you're part of this big, cool thing. You're just playing a show
in a city
in Texas. And so there if we go see something like this where there's a lot of buzz about it, that's a totally different thing. But
right.
for the most part, you see those long lists of bands, and they're not having any kind of, you know, huge splash.
I think you don't tend to hear, you know, the negative stories as much, right? Because everybody wants to just say, hey, it was really cool to be part of the scene and whatever. But there were a couple this year, like the band Dive was down there. Do you guys read about Dive at South by Southwest?
No.
They went down there and then they just said, screw it, we're getting out of here. This totally sucks.
Really?
Yeah. And then there was a Foxygen was down there and they played a couple shows and then they booked out early. But I think that might have been more like the guy's voice went out or something. But they canceled one or more shows. So, see, that's a band, Foxygen, that, you know, should be, like, making a big splash down there, right? Mm-hmm. I think. A band, you know, like a new band that's really good. So, all right, one more from Palma Violets. The album is called 180. This is track 6, Last of the Summer Wine. Okay, there you go. A little taste of Palma Violets. Kind of a fun new band, I think. From London, I think.
Yeah. Thumbs up. I like it.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
Tell us about a band from Wisconsin that made a splash at South by Southwest.
Well.
You got one of those?
Wait, what are we talking about? No, we talked about this band. Was it last week or the week before?
I think it was last week. Yeah,
and I tried to give an album review just based on the listing of the song names on their album.
Right.
And I noted that there were 7 or 8 songs that are about 15 seconds long. So
yeah,
as any good rapper does, has like interludes in between songs. But this band is called Fox, Phox, and they are from the Madison area. I think they actually all live in the same house out in Baraboo or something. It's kind of very Manson family-esque, but
yeah.
So they're all living the bucolic lifestyle up near the Clown College up in Baraboo, and so I checked out their album Friendship, which came out this year, and I like it actually quite a bit. It's kind of folky, but there are enough people in the band that probably dabble in electronics where it some of their songs kind of have an electronic texture kind of layered on top of that. Something that like Beck started doing in the early 90s, which I liked quite a bit. And so, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about night beds, about how they're kind of laid back and you know, just kind of have a good vibe. And I think that about this band too. And especially the lead singer, who's named Monica Martin, is an absolutely fantastic singer. I mean, she's great. So it was nice to see a local band do well down at South by Southwest, and I think it's warranted. I think the album's really good.
All right, let's play something.
I'm gonna throw you a curveball right off the bat. They actually had two albums come out this year. One's an album, and one's kind of an EP called Confetti.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to play something off Confetti. It's a song. It's number three. It's a really sad song. It's called Barside.
Cursing your name in the morning, stealing your kisses at night. I'm laughing, boy, side with you and then. No, she could never treat you right. That she'll be warm in your bed tonight. Sweetness and light, oh, she's just perfect. Full of nothing to say. Stable hand, bone drop the glasses, and that's reason enough to stay. And I understand how you feel that way. Understand how you feel that way.
That's Fox. Now that one was that was totally a folky thing with just like one person could play that, right? One guitar and one singer.
Yep, and at the end they throw in some more instrumentation, some orchestral touches, which are really nice too. So but no, I like that song quite a bit. A lot of the songs, they're a lot more kind of playful than that, obviously. if I had to go with a second song, let's go with a song off the album that also came out this year, which is Friendship, which is their main album. An album, incidentally, which includes song titles like Friendship and Breaded Cheese Curds and Friendship, Pizza and Aaron Rodgers, which immediately tells you that they are a Wisconsin band. Yeah. So let's go with number seven, which is called Evil.
Taste deep in between my best friend's knees, telling me that
just started to rock a little bit, and I faded it out.
Yep. Well,
it's the way it goes.
Got to leave some up to the imagination.
Right. Wisconsin's own Fox.
Yes, among several Wisconsin bands that that ended up at South by Southwest. So.
Didn't somebody do a Wisconsin showcase or something? I think they were in that, right? There were like Milwaukee bands and Madison bands, and they
combined something like
them.
That.
Yeah, which is kind of a cool thing. If you can get a venue that enough people will show up, which right. apparently they did.
Hmm. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a wrap up of Wisconsin bands that were there, so you can search for that online if you're so inclined.
When we do the Will's Band Showcase, that's just going to be spectacular. I think we can, hopefully we can get Glass Eye Diner, right? We'll get those guys.
They'll do it.
It'll be 38 Special, Jeremy yeah. Messersmith and Y Oak, and...
yeah. Oh, it's going to be good. Someday, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, I bet Helligoats would do it, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Jason Anderson would do it.
Oh, this is like starting to become a real thing.
This is shaping
up. This
could
really happen.
Yeah, this is going to be good. So, yeah, we'll draw a crowd for sure. We should play one more song from Fox. Can you? Yeah, another one you can pick, Chris. I've listened to it a little bit, but not enough to like decide what the best tracks to play would be.
Yeah, I'm just let's go with song number 11. It's called Kingfisher. It's another kind of like a little kind of cutesy song.
Reading a million nightmares, I chance one dream. It was in mint condition in my sleep. Flying one kingfisher as I was lost. A mind paints a lovely landscape at the cost of lost actuality. Seeing what's real, or dodging the problematic way you feel. I've lost actuality. I've seen what's real, or dodging the problematic way you feel. Woke to an angry headache on your Sabbath day. Goddamn right. I lost actuality and seeing what's real and finding the problematic way you feel. And I would have followed you to all you do in every idea that I
Yeah, that was one of my favorites as I went through the album.
Yeah, I picked a couple of their more spare songs, but in all their other songs, they do flesh it out and get a little more instrumental than those. But yeah, maybe I'm partial to her voice, so I like the ones that feature her the most.
Yeah, weren't they just playing in Madison the other night, and they were like third on the bill. At the Frequency or something. Or maybe it was the High Noon.
It was the High Noon, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was them and then somebody else you'd never heard of. And the headliner was somebody I'd never heard of either. So
yeah, so they'll...
Kind of an awkward...
They'll be
thing,
back,
I'm sure,
yeah,
for
they'll
everybody
get,
involved.
They shouldn't have a problem getting a headlining gig in Madison, right? So, yeah, we should go see them. This would be a fun band to see live, I think.
After being on this podcast, I mean, they're going to be huge, so...
It's a good point.
You know what's going to happen though when they get
one thing.
When they get big, everyone's going to say that it was because of South by Southwest,
and they won't give us proper credit. Yeah, good point.
How dare they? I did send you guys a video of of just her sitting there like with a ukulele almost doing a song by The Shins called Caring is Creepy, which I think is really good too. So
right, yeah, maybe I'll
throw that up on the Facebook page or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. So I should mention that you mentioned a couple of the wacky song titles, but the last one is great, isn't it? Track 19 is called Friendship and Big Al Capone's Stakeout Original New York Steakhouse and Grill Live Music 7 to 9 Tuesdays. That's what it's called. That's good. See, that's funny, right? If you're like Fiona Apple and then your album is titled that ridiculous title, I think that's just annoying. But if you do this, yes, you make a track and you just put that crazy thing on, then it's funny.
So, right.
Yeah. We're just biased because they're from Wisconsin, right? Where's Fiona Apple from?
Who knows? Space.
Yeah.
Sufjan Stevens does that with a lot of his songs. A lot of his songs on Illinois have really long titles too. But
right,
whether or not it annoys me depends entirely on how much I actually like the person.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. That's how it works. So, all right, what do we got here? We got 46 minutes, so we should we have time here.
Yeah, we're doing Barrett's now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got ownership of.
Yeah, I don't know.
We assigned him Devendra Banhart.
I had actually listened to this a little bit. My expectations going in were really low because I didn't like any of his old stuff at all.
Oh, I thought you liked like that Cripple Crow album. Is it Cripple Cow or Cripple Crow?
Cripple Crow.
Wrong animal.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting going into this, into listening to it, to hear something I hadn't listened to in. What, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years?
Yeah.
And also someone that is making music, I think it's kind of unlikely, you know, that he's still around.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other of the, you know, freak folk people from back in the mid-2000s are still making albums that anybody's paying attention to.
Yeah.
But this one is called Mala. It's probably about his fourth or something like that.
Maybe. Sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And at least to my ears, it's not really all that folky at all, and it's not very freaky. So he's kind of, shedding some of his past baggage here.
It's kind of eclectic, though, isn't it?
It's like, eclectic,
there's a couple
yeah.
songs that have, like synthesizers.
Synthesizers and singing in Spanish. But I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to any of this, but one of the songs I liked, it's the third one. It's called For Hildegard von Bingen.
Now she's leaving. Devendra Banhart.
Yeah.
Did you guys listen to this at all?
Yeah, I did.
I know, Chris, you said you didn't, wasn't really grabbing you. Was that your final verdict on that? Are you still there, Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I turned my mic off so you didn't hear me munching away during the song. No, I listened to it once and thought it was okay. Definitely won't be the last time that I listened to it. If you recall, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, his last album actually, I think, snuck onto my top 10 of the year.
God, I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
Which one
I thought
was
that one was actually pretty good.
Is that?
And it shocked me because the one previous to that I thought was terrible. I was a big fan of his two kind of sister albums that he put out. Gosh, that had to be what, 07? 07, 08, something like that?
There's one called Smokey Rolls Down Thunder Canyon. I'm just looking at it now. And then there was one called Nino Rojo. That's
yeah, Nino Rojo and what was the other one? Rejoicing in the Hands, or was it...
Cripple Crow was 2005.
Oh, so those other two must have been even older. Look how prepared we are here.
Yeah.
In any event, I was a big fan of the freak folk days where it was essentially just him, he and his guitar. Also, as a result of that, he got to date Natalie Portman.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah, so that was good for him. Yeah. And I didn't like anything after that until his last album, which I liked quite a bit. And, you know, so I'm definitely going to give this one another shot.
Yeah, like Will was saying, it's eclectic. Again, not particularly folky, I don't think, in any part of it at all.
There's one or two songs that are like just mostly guitar and him singing, I think. So those would be, you could call those folky.
I guess.
But there's more. I kind of like the reverb-y stuff on this, which is kind of cool. And I have a little soft spot for Devendra Banhart because for some reason, that Cripple Crow album I got into quite a bit back in the old days of 2005. And this was like the music, the comeback of music, like for me, where I started to listen to a lot more music after I got an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and this was one of the things where I was like, this is one of these new things, and I hadn't listened to any much music at all that's like this, or like that was. This is
right.
A little different. So,
well, you guys, I think, both liked it better than I did back in the old days. And I think maybe I like this a little better than you do now. So
I like the
crazy.
I like the first half of this album a little more than the second half. The first half has a little more, it's a little more catchy. So
do you
have
one that you want to play?
Yeah, I'll pick one, track two, Daniel.
Thank you.
That would have been my second choice right there. That was a good one too.
Yeah, it's a, you know, the whispery vocal reminds me of Yola Tango a little bit. How they do that the on some of the songs, the vocal where like
mm-hmm.
the like it's like a total close up on the mic,
right?
And you can hear every tiny little detail, but it's kind of effective, I think. So,
yeah, it was 2004 that those the two albums that I liked the most came out. So I'm losing my mind. I'm just getting too old.
Yeah, 9 years, you know.
It was 9 years ago.
That's amazing that it was that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Barrett, you got another one?
Yeah, I'm going to pick one. This would have been JJ's pick. She liked the song called Again.
Mama had such high hopes for me. Lover, don't know where those hopes go. Mama's gonna buy me a DVD. When the Saints march into the W Hotel, Mama's gonna buy me new hair gel. Love is gonna tell me love don't last. Mama's gonna tell me I ain't high class. Love is gonna be a long lost biological father. Love is gonna give me worst day of my life. Mama's gonna tell me the world I thought was the world is not the world. Love is gonna make me a hungry man.
Now,
I don't remember where I got the idea that that was JJ's favorite song. That's the worst song on there. That one kind of stinks. That should have been.
That's freak folk, isn't it?
That should have ended up on the cutting room floor.
Well, I'll just play a makeup song then.
All right. I like Your Fine Petting Duck. You know what that song reminds me of? You know the song Baby It's You by the Beatles?
Hmm.
Sounds just like that.
Hmm. Can't pop that one into my head right now.
Yeah. Well, it does. Have to trust
it. All right. Take
Barrett's word. Dimitri Bernhard has a song actually called The Beatles on one of his albums.
Wow.
There's a what? Do you remember this, Barrett? There, somewhere on this album, there's this line about how he's waiting in line to see some band, right?
I don't remember that.
It's like I want to, and it's a funny reference. It's like waiting in line to see whoever, and the band is like one of these like hip bands or something.
Right.
I don't know.
One thing I like about this song too is it's got kind of a thematically, it's a lot different than anything I've ever heard. Where you know, he's talking to an ex-girlfriend and saying, like, hey, if you think this guy's not treating you very well, just remember how much worse I was, you know? And if he doesn't seem like he cares enough, you have to remember that I didn't care at all and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting.
That's good.
You know?
All right. Well, did we bring an eclectic mix of music to the listeners this week?
We did.
I think we did.
Local, new, old.
South by Southwest, buzz or not.
Yeah.
Did Devendra Banhart go to South by Southwest?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, he's from...
He'd have to be there at some point.
He's...
past decade.
He's from Texas, right? But he was raised in Venezuela. Like, his mom took him to Venezuela and then brought him back to the U.S. or something.
Hmm.
I don't know. So
I don't
it's
know.
Sort of like the story of his... His whole geographic thing kind of fits, I think, the music that he plays mm-hmm. a little bit. Not sure why I think that, but it just seems about right. All right. Exciting.
Before we sign off, I want to mention that here in Madison today, there is a rally to support six-day post office delivery. So we might still be able to make it down there. they'll protest anything here in Madison, and now it's six-day post office delivery. So,
boy, that's going to be... That's going to be a huge crowd. It's going to be hard to navigate your way around. So
that's right. Tens of thousands showing up so they can get postal delivery on Saturday.
Oh man, that's
love Madison.
Yeah,
I got to think the mail carriers would be for that as well, right?
Because unless they're going to get fewer jobs.
Yeah,
fewer jobs or just I don't know. They don't have like a dedicated Saturday person, do they? It'd be just the same guys. And women that, you know, on Monday they just have to carry a ton. Right?
Yeah, that's
right. That's not fair.
Yeah,
they probably get paid less.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
One Could sixth be. Less.
Yep.
So where is that rally, Chris?
It's down at the Milwaukee Street post office, which is the one on the east side.
Oh, the one by Woodman's over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big one.
That's too far.
Barrett's gonna run that over much. There. Oh, I listen, the band enough. Is firing up now because I told them we'd be done by about this time.
All right.
So, all right, a little programming note. Next week, we will not be available to record a podcast. But, there's a but. I'm going to have one for you anyway. Yesterday, I was setting up this stuff and I thought, you know what? Let's just do it. I'm going to pre-record an extra little podcast. So we're going to have that for the listeners so that they do not have to go a week without our podcast.
Wow, and, there's already one in the can.
There's another That's one in the weird. Can already, yeah. And, you know, it's going to be kind of just music because bantering with myself is just not that entertaining. So, yeah, it's kind of straightforward, but we'll have something for you. And then the following week, hopefully we'll be back with a full podcast. We already have a couple bands we talked about discussing, so it's going to be good. So
that's crazy. Actually, one is already recorded already, and it's going to come out after
this. One, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's like Let It Be and Abbey Road. They recorded Let It Be first. Abbey Road came out later, so maybe people will be comparing them that way.
Yeah,
this is the Abbey Road one, and then
it's sort of like a podcast B side or something.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
no, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'll reserve judgment.
Maybe you'll hate all the bands I talk about, but, you know. All right. Chris, do you have a final statement?
I thought the band that Barrett was actually going to do on this one was a different one. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably the one that he wanted to save. You must have missed that.
You didn't get the memo
on that one. Yeah. All right. Well, here's the contact information, and we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Later.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page
or on Twitter at Will's Band. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.